from deep inside your radio.
And we're live, to quote Ira Glass. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that New Orleans can teach us, or can at least make us think about. For example, New Orleans provides the answer to why are they still publishing Parade, that thing that they stuff into the Sunday newspaper. Because that's one of the things I mentioned last week or week before, that one of the levees in New Orleans had a joint between pieces of the flood wall. And although other things are supposed to be used to seal that joint, the United States Army Corps of Engineers, in their infinite wisdom, had decided to stuff it with newspapers. And the newspaper we learned now is Parade Magazine. Just, you know, because it's colorful. Anyway, they're coming out, or they have come out. The Corps has moved quickly, according to a New Orleans television station, to repair that joint. Maybe the alacrity with which they moved has something to do with the fact that the story of the newspaper being stuffed in it came out. We used a substitute for what's called for in the specs, says Colonel Jeffrey Beatty of the Army Corps of Engineers. It's not pretty. It's newspaper. It has no effect from a structural or safety factor. That's right. We just got upset because it wasn't pretty. The Corps officials say it took about 4 hours to remove the newspaper. And install the rubber material and then seal the joint. Cost was not an issue, said Colonel Beatty. It was about getting the repair work done and move on. All right, we've moved on from stuffing Parade Magazine into a levee. But wait, there's more. It's not just FEMA and it's not just trailers. Cribs and changing tables may be exposing babies to unhealthy levels of formaldehyde. This is according to a new environmental report published by Environment California, which found half a dozen products out of 21 nursery furnishings that tested emitted formaldehyde at levels high enough to trigger allergy and asthma attacks in children. Well, let's just toughen them up, don't you think? The only standards for formaldehyde exposure come from federal housing regulators who monitor its use in prefab homes. No one measures formaldehyde emissions from children's furnishings, the report said. Well, let's just say it in unison, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? Children don't vote. And one more lesson that New Orleans can at least make us sensitive to as we see it repeated in other parts of the world. Although most people in this country still think that what happened in New Orleans was, big hurricane hit it, and they're under sea level. Basically, a big hurricane came to the Gulf Coast. But what happened in New Orleans is that the federally built levees and flood wall structures catastrophically failed, setting up a wall of water much, much bigger than anything nature had ever planned. But the other part of the story is that over the years, the coastal wetlands that abut New Orleans, between New Orleans and the Gulf of Mexico, have been eroded and made to disappear by a number of factors. We won't go into that. But it's the point is that the natural woodlands, wetlands, do act as a buffer against big storms and big surges hitting populated areas. So when Cyclone Nargis struck Burma, I'm going to call it Burma, I don't care what they call it, it pushed a wall of water through the Irrawaddy Delta, a low-lying, densely populated area that had been stripped of its protective trees. The Delta had lost most of its mangrove forests along the coast to shrimp farms and rice paddies over the past decade. That removed what scientists say is one of nature's best defenses against violent storms. Hey, I say throw rice at it. Throw shrimp at the storm. Throw shrimp at the surge as it comes in. It was the first time such an intense storm hit the Delta, said the director of meteorology at the website Weather Underground. He called it those once in every 500 years kind of things. According to the Mangrove Action Project, Burmese researchers found that more than 3 mangroves in 4 in that delta were destroyed over the last 70 years. that echoes a global trend. Hey, well, at least as long as we're all doing it, I feel better. Hello, welcome to the show.
Mother, dear mother, well, where have you been? I've been searching your face for so long. I want you to know just how happy I've been. I want you to know that I'm strong. Mother, dear mother, just look at me now. I can see both the sides of this world. And I can remember the smile on your face just as much as the pain of a lonely girl. And I want to dance in the streets until midnight and to laugh till the dawn of the day. And when they ask why I act so strange, I reply, I'm just happy, so happy this way. Sister, dear sister, just look at us now. Look at the changes we've made. God, we walked straight through hell, and it's funny somehow how we sink, how we swim, how we saved ourselves. So let us dance in the streets until midnight. Let us laugh till the dawn of the day. And when they ask why we act so strange, we'll reply, we're just happy, so happy this way. To look back and regret everything. Dark was the color of life. You forget any happiness there might have been when you hide so much hurt deep inside. But life is a cocktail of pleasure and pain. You can drink it or throw it goodbye. And one day you'll feel you can love once again, and the memories of good days will grow inside. Then you will dance in the streets until midnight, and you'll laugh till the dawn of the day. And when they ask why you act so strange, you reply, I'm just happy, so happy this way. So let us dance in the streets until midnight, and just laugh till the dawn of the day. And when they ask why we act so strange, you reply, we're just happy, so happy this way.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. Speaking of the Army Corps of Engineers, they're busy, busy little beavers. They have their fingers in so many luscious pies, like one I, you know, it's obvious when it's brought to your attention, but you never thought about it. What happened to the waste, the nuclear waste from the Manhattan Project? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you. Dateline Lewiston, New York. Neighbors in Niagara County are getting more information about a radioactive storage site in their neighborhood. The United States Army Corps of Engineers released a remedial investigation report, on the containment of waste from the Manhattan Project in Lewiston, New York. Bill Kowaleski of the Corps said, quote, the interim waste containment cell is functional as designed. It is safe. We've identified the nature of the contamination. There's no imminent health risk to anyone. Weasel word, imminent, meaning tomorrow you'll die. And we're laying the building blocks for the next step, which is for a long-term solution, i.e., give us more money and maybe we won't poison you. The Corps says they're working to address community concerns on the issue. Yeah. That's who I want handling my nuclear waste disposal. The United States. Well, you know what? I think what the long-term solution is, just shove some newspaper in the vessel. Parade would be good. And now,
Mother.
Oh, now, the apologies of the week. It is Mother's Day, but that's one too many.
We're so sorry.
The woman known as the DC Madam apologized to her mother and sister in suicide notes, saying she couldn't bear going to prison and saw killing herself as the only exit strategy. Deborah Jean Palfrey, convicted last month of running an elite Washington prostitution ring, patronized by Louisiana Senator David Vitter. Makes you proud. wrote to her mother that she could not live the next 6 to 8 years behind bars for what you and I have come to regard as this modern-day lynching, only to come out of prison in my late 50s, a broken, penniless, and very much alone woman. Dateline Minneapolis, St. Paul, WCCO-TV morning show anchor Bill Hudson apologized this week about stumbling over the word neighborhood and instead saying the N-word. Hudson was reading a story about the Powderhorn Park neighborhood in Minneapolis. Quote, I learned later that what came out of my mouth sounded to some people like a word they and I find most offensive. A word I would never, ever use. I want to apologize to anyone who's offended by my stumble, Hudson said on Thursday's show. The clip is posted on WCCO.com for those of you who would like to hear N-word hood. The news director of WCCO-TV says, this is a fine quote, ladies and gentlemen. If you think about the word neighborhood, 3 out of the 4 first letters are unfortunately shared with that word I will not repeat. You know what? Human beings occasionally stumble on their words. The news director said there's been little public reaction to Hudson's slip and there will be no disciplinary action. Don't tell Jesse. Don't tell Al. The Australian rugby team took a 48-0 drubbing in Lithuania last week. Afterward, players visited a bar in Vilnius where the 20 men stripped naked and sang Singing in the Rain while onlookers cheered. There was video, of course, and it went onto the internet, of course. The Australian Federation has apologized to all persons who felt disturbed, offended, or emotionally hurt. But after all, it is rugby. Dateline Saginaw, Michigan, an employee of Lutz Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Saginaw says he found a noose hanging in his work locker. And it's work hanging in his noose locker. No, the center says in a statement that management and fellow staff at the center have apologized to the employee after the noose was reported. The report is under investigation. Officials declined information on the worker or the area in which he is employed. The BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, has apologized for keeping about $210,000 made from premium rate, that is to say, pay phone calls that viewers have had to make on about 24 shows that should have been given to charity. This is the latest scandal in Britain over television phone-ins. The corporation admitted that viewers of Making Your Mind Up, the show that chose last year's UK entry for the Eurovision Song Contest, Scooch. Remember Scooch? Bet you don't. Were misled into voting before the phone lines had opened. In that case, the BBC made $12,000 from ineligible calls. Sir Michael Lyons, head of the BBC Trust, aren't all broadcasters run by a trust, said that money had been repaid to charity, including interest. The trust has also ordered the BBC to make an on-screen apology, the first time such a sanction has been imposed. The issue involved the BBC subsidiary Audio Call, which provides premium rate phone lines to about 24 BBC shows. Earlier scandals in Britain involved late night call-in quiz shows on the commercial channels where people were inveigled to make premium rate phone calls after the quiz had ended, they say. Also in London, just days after he was criticized for misusing military helicopters, Prince William has defended his flight, saying it's part of his training intended only to earn a flying qualification. Second in line to the British throne, got into a controversy recently after it emerged he flew a Chinook. Not a Schlemiel, a Chinook helicopter to his cousin Peter Phillip's stag party on the Isle of Wight and to his girlfriend's family home. He also used the military aircraft to fly over the Gloucestershire home of his father, the Prince of Wales, and over Sandringham, the British Queen's residence in Norfolk. Earlier, the British Defense Ministry had apologized for allowing the prince to fly the $20 million chopper to visit family and friends during his training. So it's either okay or it isn't, depending on whether you're royal or not. And Dateline Washington Representative Vito Fasella, New York, acknowledged on Thursday he'd fathered a child from an extramarital affair, answering questions that arose from his arrest on drunken driving charges last week. So he's got a nice little run going, this Vito. My personal failings and imperfections have caused enormous pain to the people I love, and I am truly sorry, said Fasella, a Staten Island Republican who has 3 children with his wife. His private life came under scrutiny after he was busted in the Virginia suburbs of Washington. Police said his blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit. Well, he's drinking for two women. You see how that... He could face a mandatory 5 days in jail if convicted. When Fasella was pulled over, police said he told officers he was going to see his daughter in the area. That prompted questions about who his daughter was, why she was in the area. Apologies to the weak, ladies and gentlemen. A copyrighted feature of this broadcast. It is, sorry. There's one more. Just one more. The U.S. military has, since 2001, cremated some of the remains of American service members killed in Iraq and Afghanistan at a Delaware facility that also cremates pets. Support the troops, won't you? This practice ended Friday when the Pentagon suddenly banned the arrangement after word leaked to the Washington Post. The facility has cremated about 200 service members. It uses separate crematories a few feet apart to cremate humans and animals. The manager insists there had not been, quote, there had not been any people gone through the pet cemetery. Pentagon officials said they do not think that human remains and animal remains were ever commingled at the facility. Quote, we have absolutely no evidence whatsoever at this point, weasel word alert, at this point, that any human remains were at all ever mistreated, says the Secretary of the Pentagon. Hey, a building has a press secretary. That's impressive. Regardless, the Pentagon will no longer permit crematories not located with funeral homes to handle the remains of U.S. troops. Now, 6 years into the war, they've decided that. Officials said they do not know the number of service members cremated at this facility in Kent County, Delaware. It's identified on a billboard as Friends Forever Pet Cremation Service. That would be the tip-off right there. Defense Secretary Robert Gates found, quote, the site and signage insensitive and entirely inappropriate for the dignified treatment of our fallen. The families of the fallen have the Secretary's deepest apology. The Secretary believes that it is inappropriate, even if though permissible. That's double subjunctive in my book, and I didn't use it in my book. Though permissible under the rules and regulations, to cremate our fallen, our heroes, in a facility that also cremates pets. Support our troops, won't you, ladies and gentlemen? Apologies of the week, now thoroughly a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Now, let's look at Iraq for a moment, just the merest moment. You know, like everybody else, just the merest moment. As a matter of fact, not even necessarily in the full light of publication. What am I talking about? Well, you know, the L.A. Dog Trainer, they put out this thing on paper that supposedly people in Southern California would look to find out, I don't know, important news? I know, it's a fool's errand. But this appears only on the paper's blog, not in the print edition. Quote, there was something interesting missing from Major General Kevin Bergner's remarks to journalists at his regular news briefing in Baghdad on Wednesday. The word Iran or any form of it. It was especially striking as Bergner, U.S. military spokesman, announced the extraordinary list of weapons and munitions that have been uncovered in recent weeks since fighting erupted between Iraqi and U.S. security forces and Shiite, can I say that on the radio? Shiite militiamen. Among other things, Bergner cited 20,000 items of ammunition, explosives, and weapons reported by Iraqi forces in Karbala, an additional Karbala cache containing 570 explosive devices, 9 mortars for anti-aircraft missiles, and 45 RPGs, and in the southern city of Basra, 39 mortar tubes, 1,800 mortars, 500 rockets. Not once did Bergner point the finger at Iran for any of these weapons and munitions, which is a striking change from just a couple of weeks ago, when U.S. military officials in Baghdad and at the Pentagon were saying that caches found in Basra in particular had revealed Iranian-made arms manufactured as recently as this year. That's just from the L.A. Times blog. They didn't see fit to put that in the paper, ladies and gentlemen, since they're supporting our troops. Also, news of Iraq. Dateline Baghdad. Imagine luxury hotels, a shopping center, and condos in the heart of Baghdad. That's part of a 5-year development dream list, or to transform the U.S. protected green zone from a walled fortress into a centerpiece for Baghdad's future. This is just coming out at the same time that on one of the Sunday Yak shows today, the Iraqi ambassador to the United States explaining why they're not spending their new high oil revenues on their reconstruction said, well, we have projects that we've bid out, but no international company responded to the bids because of the security situation. But now back to this. The $5 billion plan has the backing of the Pentagon and apparently the interest of some deep pockets in the world of international hotels and development. For Washington, the driving motivation is to create a zone of influence around the new almost billion-dollar U.S. embassy to serve as a kind of high-end buffer. Just plant mangroves, babe. Or stuff newspaper. Stuff a lot of parade. When you have $1 billion hanging out there and 1,000 employees lying around, you kind of want to know who your neighbors are. This is a quote. You want to influence what happens in your neighborhood over time. This is according to Navy Captain Thomas Karnofsky, who led the team that created the development plan. A deal, he says, is already in place for Marriott to build a hotel in the green zone. I am so there. He also said, hey, room service, where's my burger? He also said a possible $1 billion investment could come from MBI International, a conglomerate that focuses on hotels and resorts and is led by a Saudi sheikh. Elizabeth Caminiti, a Marriott spokeswoman, declined to comment. Phone calls and emails sent to London-based MBI were not returned. For the moment, however, it is mortars and rockets, not money, pouring into the green zone. Militants have escalated their shelling of the enclave since Iraqi forces began a Shiite militia crackdown in late March. But developers are clearly looking many years ahead and gambling that Baghdad could one day join the list of former war zones such as Sarajevo and Beirut. This is the AP citing Beirut as an area that has rebounded and earned big paydays for early investors. Yeah, I want to have my money in Beirut right about now. That is true. Last week, a Los Angeles-based holding company for equity firms, C3, says it is starting a $500 million project to build an amusement park on the outskirts of the Green Zone in an area encompassing the Baghdad Zoo. The Baghdad Zoo, ladies and gentlemen. The first phase, a skateboard park, is scheduled to open this summer. But, says Karnofsky, of the Baghdad infrastructure. There is no sewer system, no working power system. Everything is done on generators, no road system repair work. There are no city services other than the minimal amount we provide, we the United States, to get by. Of 500 development projects carried out in Baghdad last year, not one was done in the green zone, with the exception of building the new American embassy. No sewer system, no working power system. They're going to build an amusement park. And says the developer, it's going to be kind of like Disneyland.
Good, Eddie.
I Virgin, now I'm going to Disneyland. I just got cuffed again, I'm going to Disneyland. Shot my gun into the night, I'm going to Disneyland. Oh, I just saw a good man die, I'm going to Disneyland. Come on, I'm going to Disneyland. Hey!
In the Green Zone. This is Le Show, ladies and gentlemen. The grown-ups are in charge. There was testimony this week in front of the Senate's Democratic Policy Committee from three employees, three whistleblowers from private contractors. By the way, congratulations to Blackwater. They're back protecting State Department officials in Iraq again after the Iraqis said, never again. Again. Frank Cassaday, former Kellogg Brown Root, former subsidiary of Halliburton employee who worked as an ICE plant operator in Fallujah in 2004 and 5. Quote, ICE was a very valuable commodity in Iraq that was regularly stolen and bartered for other goods, he told the committee. He recalled how a convoy of U.S. Marines in preparation for an operation that would take them outside for several days requested 28 bags of ICE to keep their food fresh in the desert heat. They received only three. Quote, the ICE foreman was cheating the troops out of ICE the same time that he was trading the ICE for DVDs, CDs, food, and other items at Iraqi shops across the street. This foreman would change the ICE tally sheets at the distribution area I worked in to make it seem as though we had handed out more ICE to the Marines than we actually did. Support the troops, ladies and gentlemen. He later observed his colleagues returning to KBR's camp with equipment they had stolen from the U.S. military, including refrigerators, artillery round detonators, rocket launchers, and about 800 rounds of small arms ammunition. After he informed the camp manager of the thefts, Marines searched the camp with dogs to recover the stolen property. For his trouble, Cassaday said, KBR security officers jailed him in his tent for 2 days. The practice of stealing equipment and supplies destined for the military was so pervasive, KBR employees invented a slang term to describe it, drug deals. We've come to the point where that's a cover phrase, ladies and gentlemen, drug deals. Oh, nobody... Thefts were not limited to military supplies, says Linda Warren, another former KBR employee who testified. She was shocked upon arrival in Baghdad by the number of contractors involved in criminal activity. KBR employees who were contracted to perform construction duties inside palaces and municipal buildings were looting, she said. Well, stuff happens. Not only were they looting, but they had a system in place to get contraband out of the country so it could be sold on eBay. They stole artwork, rugs, crystal, and even melted down gold to make spurs for cowboy boots, unquote. Well, there's the pillage. Where's the rape? Like Cassaday, when she complained to her superiors about the theft, she was punished. Her vehicle was taken away, her movements were closely monitored, and her access to phones and the internet were cut off. Oh, my God. Perhaps more shocking than any of this was the accusation from Barry Halley, a former project manager for Worldwide Network Services, working on subcontract for DynCorp. His site manager in Iraq, who he said was employed by a major defense contractor, moonlighted as the leader of a prostitution ring, serving American contractors in Iraq. Don't tell me. Tell David Vitter. It's the grown-ups, ladies and gentlemen. All right, then. So it is going well. And now, it's time for me to read the trades for you. A couple little items from MediaPost.com. First, Clear Channel tops Reatrix displays for airports. Airports? I thought those were security zones. I'll read it for you. If you see people making strange gestures at the airport, they're usually cursing at airport employees, says MediaPost. But that may change with Clear Channel Airport's new partnership with Reatrix Systems, which creates gesture-based interactive displays for advertisers in public spaces. That's what we need at the airport. More ads. Clear Channel Airports will have full responsibility for the operation, displays in for its airport partners. Clear Channel is partnered with most major airports in the country outside New York. Like its other Stepscape displays in malls and other public areas, the Reatrix system in airports will project digital images onto the floors of airport terminals. Well, that wouldn't be confusing or distracting to people trying to make their planes, would it? Sorry, I stopped reading. Which attract passersby by responding to their motion. Once engaged, the user is invited to explore the interactive display, controlling it with different gestures that are tracked by motion sensors. These branded displays can also integrate ad content into this interactive experience. You have a wide range of capabilities, including puzzles, games, and paint programs. How about a get me through the goddamn security program? I mean, damn. Gosh damn. Gosh darn. Also for Media Post, consumers that regularly purchase organic products are 153% more open to new experiences than the general population, according to a new study by Mindset Media. Marketers of organic foods seeking to target these open consumers can place buys that appeal to the open consumer's mentality. When you start to understand what makes someone interested in organics as a mindset, says Sarah Welch, co-founder of Mindset Media, then you can reach millions of people with that mindset with a simple buy. Participants were asked a series of more than 110 personality-based questions, such as whether they like to try new and foreign foods, whether they were intrigued by patterns found in art and nature. Each respondent was then ranked in terms of their level of openness, and then separated into, and I'm quoting here, 5 openness buckets. I've heard of a bucket list, but this is ridiculous. Mindset Media found that consumers who bought organic products consistently scored in the top 20th percentile in terms of openness. They tended to be more receptive to their own inner feelings. And we're likely to, well, that's what happened when I was talking about the airports. And we're likely to be more spontaneous, creative, and altruistic than the average consumer. These openness 5 customers, as Mindset defines them, were also 105% more likely than the general population to have the decisive and inclusive qualities of a modern leader. Well, then let's just elect them president. The study also found that when it came to buying organic, affluence is not a major factor. People always ask the question of whether organic brands should market to rich consumers because they're more expensive, says Welch, but our mindsets are demographically neutral. Openness Fives aren't just wealthy people. We found that organics is a state of mind, not a state of wallet. Unquote. State of wallet. Come on, where else are you going to hear that phrase on the radio? And finally, just an interesting number from Media Post. Total product placements, that is to say, hidden ads, where the product is just sort of slid into the story, usually in reality shows. For the first quarter of the year, total product placements seen in primetime television on the top 10 shows, 15,404. Mind is boggled regularly when I read the trades for you, copyrighted feature. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know that, or maybe you know, Senator John McCain this week is in a couple of controversies, though not getting nearly as much attention as, of course, what's going on the Democratic side. His wife, Cindy McCain, the Coors Beer heiress, announced that she was not going to make her tax returns public ever, even if John McCain gets elected president. And Los Angeles blogmeister Arianna Huffington wrote this week that at a party that I wasn't invited to in 2000, John McCain was heard to say that he hadn't voted for George W. Bush for president in 2000. And McCain denied it, and then a couple of other actors who were at the party, unlike me, wrote in to say, yeah, they heard it too. And President Bush, why, he's in Crawford, Texas this weekend. The occasion is the big very private wedding of one of his twin daughters, Jenna, to a 30-year-old guy. Big celebration there. Of course, there are other things on the president's plate. According to the Washington Post, the president plans, this is the Washington Post's word, President Bush plans to call Chinese President Hu Jintao in coming days to seek his help, President Hu of China, pressing the Burmese government to accept more disaster assistance. Plans to call him over the next few days to push the Chinese, to push the Burmese to accept more disasters. Not like there's a time thing on this or anything. There have already been diplomatic efforts under the under the presidential level to push the Chinese. Condi Rice spoke Thursday with the Chinese foreign minister and the Indian foreign minister, urging both governments to use their influence to persuade the Burmese leadership to open its country to relief specialists. Bush's call to President Hu of China has not been set, according to the Washington Post, for two reasons, because Hu has been visiting Japan this week, and President Bush's daughter is getting married. See, folks in Burma are just going to have to wait. A little patience. You know, we know you're Buddhists, so. And there might even be a phone call coming up.
Master Bedroom Eagle.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Well, once-in-a-lifetime experience marrying off one of your twin daughters.
Yep.
A little different from when I married Laura, wasn't it, 4-1?
Oh, yes, sir. Nobody to bail out.
I meant a little grander, a little more Texas.
I don't think you can get more Texas than a little church in Midland, but yeah, I was proud of a very grand wedding for a very lovely young lady.
Yeah.
But look, Sprout, We're in the same house. If you want to talk, why'd you ask me to call?
Just need a little break time. Be alone with my thought.
Understandable.
You know, in a strange way, I'm sort of sad it's over.
Well, usually people are glad all the planning, preparation, anxiety.
Yeah, well, that was Laura's department. Mm. God bless her. You know, it's what I always say, 41, when you want something done real organized, ask a librarian.
Maybe she should have been head of Central Command.
See, now that's inappropriated for two reasons. One, she's not in the military, so I'd have to pull way too many strings.
And two?
Two what?
Well, look at it this way, 43. Now that the wedding's over, you'll have time to call the Chinese president and ask him to help with getting aid to Burma.
Ask who?
President of China.
President who?
President who?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of one of the reasons I didn't want this little wedding thing to end. I know I've got to call him.
Who?
Who else? See, China offered to send us a lot of aid after Katrina, and I kind of stiff-armed him. Not who, personally.
Oh, sure, but one of his people.
Yeah, one of who's.
Why'd you do that?
Well, because who didn't make the offer?
Who didn't?
Who didn't?
No, but why did you stiff-arm him? Yeah. Same reason you turned away Katrina aid from Cuba?
Well, Conde said it was just a way for them to dump some tainted frozen crawfish, you know. What did I know?
Well, you knew who.
I know. But anywho, here we are. I know he's just going to throw that back in my face.
I don't think he will, Sprout. You know, served as ambassador to China. I know a little bit about how your Chinaman thinks. They care a lot about face.
You think who cares about my face?
Think who does.
Okay. It's a free country, home. But he's already sent word that he won't be lectured by, quote, the man who flew over New Orleans.
Who said that?
Who did?
Who did?
Who?
Well, I think you just have to bite the bullet, 43. It's a terrible example for a government to ignore the suffering of its people and concentrate solely on strengthening its power.
Well, look here, 41. It's bad enough for President Hu to throw that in my face, but...
Talking about the government of Burma.
Of course you were. I'm just a little bit head up from the festivities.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had one too many Diet Dr. Peppers. Might not be able to go to sleep till 10 tonight.
Well, a lot on your mind.
Yeah. You know, Laura says I laid it on a little thick about wanting a grand child and wanting one soon.
Well, listen, Sprout, I'd like nothing better than having a great grandchild.
Well, so you know how I feel.
Oh, of course. You're going to need something to do next year.
Darn straight. Hey, you know, it kind of makes me wish we'd spend a little more time briefing Jenna on the birds and the beans.
Sure, she picked up whatever she needs to know.
That's kind of a strange thing to say, 41. What do you think she is, a guy?
Just think these days it's harder to avoid learning about sex than the opposite.
Yeah, I suppose.
Interesting move by our friend Senator McCain.
Letting his wife not reveal her tax records. Hey, 41, no disrespect to anyone in the family, but if my wife looked like Cindy McCain, I'd let her conceal whatever records she wants to. That is one hot beer heiress. Kind of think, in a way, I helped her build her fortune.
In a way.
Yeah.
But wasn't talking about that move by Senator McCain. Just think he's sending a message to independents, letting some folks quote him as saying he didn't vote for you in 2000.
Mm. Well, you know, 4-1, even the Supreme Court said it didn't make a dang bit of difference who voted for who that year.
Don't think who ran that year. He took power a couple years later.
Who did?
Yeah.
Well, and you know, John's a good man with a hot wife. And if he wants to send a signal to the independents based on some vote that somebody probably dumped in the trash anyway, more power to him. Important thing is, this year, he is voting for me.
Guess so.
My little girl spending her first night as a married woman.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to believe.
Know what you mean, 43. But hey, you gave him a great big Texas wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have something else you kids never had, a real honeymoon.
Don't be too sure, 41. We doubled the Secret Service contingency with them tonight.
Excuse me?
Yeah, they got orders to knock on the door every hour just to make sure everything's okay. Hey, the girl knows her dad. She'd be disappointed if I didn't do it.
Yeah, so, well, 4 to 3, see you at breakfast. Barr says goodnight.
All right, sir. You tell her I said so. Goodnight.
When you were a vixen and I was a chump, looked at me like a coil from a swamp. Now things have a different complexion. I'm the object of your affection. Much as I don't doubt your expertise, find yourself some other hunk to squeeze. 'Cause it's too late to come fishing. Yes, it's too by a change of heart, but my tire is fit to overflow. Find yourself some other gigolo. 'Cause it's too late to confession. Yes, it's too
now, ladies and gentlemen, because we're grading on a curve, F is for FEMA.
F is for FEMA.
Deadline Washington, auditors are questioning the Federal Emergency Management Agency's oversight of its vast inventory of mobile homes, trailers, and other emergency housing after officials repeatedly failed to turn over information about the program. This according to a report from the Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General. FEMA's inability to provide the required information raises very serious questions regarding the controls over the program and casts doubts concerning whether FEMA has accurate records, says the head of the Inspector General's office. As a result, the Inspector General's office has suspended the audit and will separately incorporate its goals into a larger, broader review of FEMA. Because they're so darn good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering where to store your high-level nuclear waste and are thinking of Yucca Mountain in Nevada, as the federal government is, maybe second thought. Government scientists raised questions in recent weeks about the Department of Energy's experiments on how long it will take the canisters that will be containing the highly radioactive nuclear waste to corrode after being placed within Yucca Mountain. The discovery led the Department of Energy to replace the data that were part of its license application to build the repository. At the same time, the Department of Energy has launched a review of the challenged research, which involved the nickel-based Alloy 22. That's going to be our ticket to the future, Alloy 22. That will be the outer cover of the waste-containing packages. In the experiments, Alloy 22 samples were subjected to a solution of corrosive chemicals and then weighed to determine how much they degraded. Technicians reviewing the results reported documented, repeated, and potentially significant excursions from the standard for handling corrosion test specimens. Excursions from the standard, ladies and gentlemen. See, where else on the radio can you hear that? The activity is taking place weeks before the department has said it plans to apply for a construction license. Russ Dyer, the chief scientist for the Yucca Mountain Project, said the suspicious corrosion data was, quote, roped off, unquote, and is not part of the Yucca application. Roped off. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the warm. Not roped off for your listening pleasure. It's not a state of wallet either.
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
Global warming may prove worse for insects and other cold-blooded creatures living in the steamy tropics than for their counterparts living closer to the frigid polar regions, according to the National Academy of Sciences proceedings. Even though climate change is likely to affect polar areas more, tropical insects are already living in conditions that verge on being too hot for them, which means they could be teetering on the edge of extinction. Well, who told them to live there? For example, the shield bug, also known as the stink bug. There are varieties of the insect in both the United Kingdom and Kenya, but although the shield bugs in the United Kingdom may prosper as a result of a warmer climate in their region, their counterparts in Africa may find themselves unable to cope with the heat, according to the research, and if they cannot adapt or move, they may perish. Bid farewell to the stink bug, ladies and gentlemen. But not just the stink, it's not just the stink bug. The koala is under threat from climate change, according to new research, which shows rising carbon dioxide levels are killing the nutrients in the plants they eat. I knew this vegetarian thing was not going to work out for the koala. I told them that. I told them, eat some meat. Did they listen to me? Lab tests have revealed that global warming is stripping the goodness from eucalyptus leaves, and the University of Sydney researchers behind the study say the koalas that rely on them don't have enough time to adapt to the change. They are slow-moving animals, I'll tell you that. I've watched them in what they refer to as action. What they'd like to think of as action. What currently may be good koala habitat. By the way, you know what koalas spend all their time doing? Stripping eucalyptus leaves for nourishment. That's their full-time gig. I mean, literally, it's that and sleep. So if there's not enough nourishment, it's not like in the leaves. It's not like they can just forage more. They're actually... What currently may be good koala habitat may well become, over a period of not so many years at the rate that carbon dioxide concentrations are rising, very marginal habitat, according to lead researcher Professor Ian Hume. I'm sure we'll see koalas disappearing from their current range, even though we don't see any change in tree species or structure of the forests. The change will mean eucalypt species with high protein content will become unbeneficial to the koala as the so-called anti-nutrients such as tannins, bind the protein, making it unusable. It's going to push the rate of ratio of nutrients to anti-nutrients even lower. Okay. So take pictures. I'll share my pictures of koalas with you, in case you want to remember what they look like. Scotland's wild salmon stocks could be facing serious decline if action is not taken to limit the effects of climate change, according to experts. The country's rivers support one of the largest Atlantic salmon resources within Europe. The cold water fish has a complex migratory life cycle, and experts believe climate change is affecting both the marine and freshwater phases. Speaking at a conference on climate change and aquatic systems, Dr. Harriet Orr from Lancaster University says, while we can limit the worst effects of climate change by reducing emissions, we need to start thinking about how we adapt our river management practices for unavoidable climate change. Our rivers are particularly vulnerable, as are the fish within them. But as climate change forces animals to shift their breeding schedules, one group of British birds has been able to quickly adapt to the warmer weather without having to rely on slower evolution. Since 1961, ecologists have been tracking the population of great tits, the breed near Oxford, UK. The birds have responded to the increase in temperature over the last 30 years, laying their eggs 2 weeks earlier than they did in the 1970s. Hats off to the great tits. And it seems environmental effects can go bidirectional. Reductions in air pollution in North America have led to severe droughts in the Amazon rainforest, according to a new study. In 2005, the Amazon suffered one of the worst droughts of the past century. Rivers ran so low they were unnavigable. The usual suspect is El Nino, but there was no El Nino that year. Peter Cox of the University of Exeter wondered if changes in sulfate particles in the atmosphere were responsible. Sulfates reflect sunlight back into space, cooling the land and ocean below. Levels of sulfates over North America rose until the 1970s and then fell as acid rain led to tougher pollution controls. Now, there's less sulfite. So the Amazon is heating up again. Ladies and gentlemen, News of the Warm, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Well, there's something here to play. Yes, there is, right here. With that audio train wreck, we conclude this week's edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide, throughout Europe, USIN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ The Planet, on the mighty 104 in Berlin, on Sirius and XM satellite radio, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want it, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. Available as a free download at www.audible.com/LeShow and available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And it would be just like me figuring out the right button to push if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. Find the playlist for the broadcasts and an email address for the host of the broadcast at harryshearer.com. And I'll see you this Tuesday with a brand new video at mydamnchannel.com. The show comes to you from Century Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. And thanks to the Chicago, Pittsburgh, San Diego desks and Pam Halstead. So long.